Thank you for that. It's Max over there. Of course it's Max. I like your shoes. Yeah, they're sweet. Where's the wrap, Selena? I think Selena and Maisie both want to come up. Wait. Selena, you ready? Maisie, I hear, has an amazing beatbox talent. Heard it from the Lord. He spoke it to me. It's got to be real. Are you saying God's a liar? I'm just kidding. Totally. But I didn't pull up my message yet, so do you want to bring your rap up here? I could just stand here awkwardly, or we could listen to a sweet rap. What are you guys saying? Spanish?
I'm still failing Spanish. Update on the Spanish situation. I don't know Korean. I've never, like, heard Korean anything. Okay. Since you guys all hate me, here it goes. I'm just going to sound super depressed now. I don't even want to be here, okay? No, I'm already here. I'm going to commit. I'm just going to complain about committing. Okay. You guys are going to do, like, the read part, though, right? Don't leave me hanging. I'm going to be so hurt. Okay, ready? Have you ever met a man with a perfect red beard? Always looking for a smackdown when the game is near. We all know one, and we call him Reed. He's the coolest pastor and the only one we need. Reed, 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 Reed. Spitting fire verses every week, sermon straight from the Bible. You know they're never weak. He's not afraid to tell us what we need to know. He gives the spirit food so that we can grow. Reed, 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 Reed. I pray that you get the chance to know Reed so he can help you how he has helped me. But say his name just a few more times. Reed Anderson, come on. It's your turn to shine. Reed, 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 Reed. Reed.
Oh, I love that every time. You're pro. There we go. You see, record it. Then we just play it every time. But you're broke? GarageBand, right? Is that still a thing? No? What's that? Who can make a fat beat for her and put that on a record? That's why I said a fat beat. It can't be skinny. It's got to be a fat beat. Attaboy. Whatever that means. Oh, my gosh. We got three Converse in a row here. And socks and Birks and boots. I haven't worn my Converse in a while. I've got a couple pairs. I've got, like, holes all in the sides of them. All right. Isaiah chapter 40 is a chapter in the Bible. You guys could turn to that if you'd like. If you don't want to, do it anyways. So we've been talking last month, we've been talking about God, of course, Jesus, right? But we've been talking specifically of how he sees us and who he is to us, right? We talked about the God of comfort. Right? How he represents himself, how we see him, how we can know him better. Right? Tonight I'm going to be talking about this idea of God being over time, the God of timing. How many of you like to wait? How many of you, let's put it this different way. How many of you think about lines and you're like, man, I cannot wait to stand in a line and wait? Camp out in the middle of the night, just lay out there and just wait. Not very many of us enjoy waiting. Patience is not really, we don't see patience as a virtue. We see patience as annoying. We see waiting as annoying. So I want to talk about waiting tonight. Let's talk about this idea of waiting on the Lord, and more specifically, waiting for Isaac. Waiting for Isaac is the title of my message. We're going to talk about waiting, what it looks like to wait on God and how difficult that really is for us. So Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." See, waiting isn't just about like sitting around doing nothing. That's called laziness, right? Don't be lazy. But waiting is you're still walking, you're still pursuing relationship with God, but you're waiting on Him and not just making every decision on your own and doing what you want. But it's learning to wait on God. It says, those who wait on the Lord, He will renew their strength. How many of you feel weary sometimes? Just feel like, I just don't have any energy. You see certain people and you're like, dude, I just don't have the energy for you today. I just know you're going to be too much, whether it's a sibling, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's just some kid that always comes up to you and asks you questions and questions and questions. Or it's the guy that keeps asking you out. You're like, please God, send him away. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. James chapter 1 says this, verse 12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, right, after testing and temptation, sounds fun. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him, right? There's an importance in Scripture on waiting. In our culture, there is absolutely no importance on waiting. Everything is about fast pace, getting what you want right when you want it, right? That's why fast food companies make millions. They make billions. They make so much money because they get everything quick. Right? For 1 year, I don't know how long it lasted, but McDonald's was doing this thing where if you didn't get your food in 1 minute, 60 seconds, your food was free. Right? They're all about efficiency, timing, getting everything to you quickly, quickly, quickly. Right? How many of you have been to McDonald's and you waited for like 3 or 4 minutes and you're like, this is taking forever. Are you kidding me? This is not fast food. It's been 4 minutes. I'm late. Right? We're in a hurry for everything. So waiting is not the top of our priority. It's not like you wake up in the morning and you think, I kind of want to hang out at the DMV today and just wait. See how long it takes. And then I want to talk to the lady at the station up there because they're always nice and happy, right? Because they have annoyed customers all the time that are waiting. We do not like to wait. Businesses succeed when they figure out ways to produce things quickly, to get it to you fast, to mass produce something. Right, Amazon, for sure. We go to Amazon. We buy things wherever we are. You could be pooping in the bathroom and you buy something online. Don't act like you don't poop. Come on. Be at your house, in your room, ordering things, and it gets there like 3-4 days later. You don't even pay shipping for it. Go Amazon Prime. But then if it hits like that fifth day, like, you gotta be kidding me. 5 days? When you could have just driven like 5 minutes to a store and bought it then, but, you know, we are a little bit lazy in this culture. But we are not used to waiting. Everything should be fast. Everything should be efficient, quick. We want to drive fast. If somebody's in front of you driving slow, right, it's like all your patience goes out the window. You're like, oh, are you kidding me, Grandma? Get off the road. Why are you going the speed limit? Nobody goes the speed limit. Right? We get mad because somebody's going too slow for us. And we live in Alaska. I mean, there is not traffic in Alaska. Right? Go to like Seattle or places in California. Portland, somewhere where there's traffic all the time, you expect to be on the road for a couple hours. Now we're like 10 minutes, we're getting upset, we're honking at people. It's like a whole nother side of you comes out. It's like you leave Jesus at home. You're like, nope, you're not coming with me while I'm driving. Yelling at people, bream, bream, honking your horn, throwing different fingers at them. Because you're upset about something. Because we're impatient. We don't like to wait. We don't like to wait behind somebody. We don't want to wait in line. We don't want to wait for anything. So we expect it to get here right away. Technology is awesome, but it's also obnoxious. Because if you sit there on your phone and you're trying to Google something, and Siri keeps asking you the question back, and you're like, come on, Siri, just listen. But you don't think, that's actually really stinking awesome that a little like robot voice comes and talks to you and answers your questions. No, we don't think about that. We think, Siri, you need to get faster. Understand my voice. My daughter Avery this morning, she's two, she's so cute. She's trying to pull up Moana, like to play Moana, the song, on my phone. And so she's talking to Siri and she's like, oh, Anna. Pat, wah. And Siri's like, I don't know what you're saying. She starts getting mad and she's like about to throw my phone. I'm like, Avery, calm down. I'll get it for you. Right? Already she's learned not to wait. She doesn't want to wait. With technology, we get everything quick, right? The internet hopefully is quick. If it's not quick, we're upset. We're blaming somebody. Why is your internet not fast? It's so stupid. I can't Snapchat anybody right now because your internet. Right? We want everything quick. We want to get it done fast. Right? I pay most of my things, most of my bills, I do direct deposit. So I don't want to write checks, send that in. Like, that takes too much time. Who does that anymore? Probably your parents or grandparents. What is a check? What is that thing? It's too slow for us. We don't want to do that. We want to do what's quick, what's fast, what's going to get it done right away. So patience to us is not a virtue. Patience is not something that we're taught. Patience is not normal to us. It's actually foreign. It's like, what is patience? What does that even mean? Just hurry up and preach your message. Just get it done. But God wants to teach us the importance of waiting, being patient. Because if we don't, if we always learn everything needs to be quick and fast, once we don't get it right away, we run away from it. We go somewhere else. Right? If you see a long line at McDonald's, you're like, nope, going to Carl's Jr. I'm going somewhere else. That's going to take 5 minutes. I only am going to spend 2 minutes over there. But you think about that, you take this mindset into relationships as well. If you don't get everything you want right away out of that relationship, it's over. It's done. We start cutting people out of our life. Because you text them and they don't respond to you. And you're looking at your text message over and over. You're like, when are they ever going to respond? Just text me back. Anybody ever do this? I'm probably one of the worst people at texting back right away. So probably most of you are like, yeah, that's you, Reed. I'm just trying to grow your patience, all right? You're welcome. You were praying for patience. God sent you me. But when we take this kind of thing into our relationships, it starts to stall our relationships because we expect things to be done fast. We expect you to care for me right away. I expect you to drop everything that you're doing to come pay attention to me and listen to me. And if we're not careful with this, we start breaking off relationships and we start isolating ourselves because we're mad at everybody else. It wasn't fast enough. You didn't get it done enough. You weren't nice enough. You said one mean thing to me and you're done. We're through. We start to push people away from us. And then we do this in our relationship with God, too. We pray once, real quickly, Lord, tell me what to do today. And then we stop. look around a little bit. I don't hear anything. Well, I wonder what's on Facebook. I guess I'll respond to this text. Right? We do the same thing in a relationship with God. If we don't get the results right away, we're like, I'm done with this. Right? We have this amazing experience out at camp or some kind of retreat. You get this spiritual high. You're like, yeah, God, you're so good. And then you come back and it's difficult. And you're like, there's been no changes in my life. I guess this isn't real. Or God doesn't speak to me like he does everybody else. Or I've been praying and I'm not hearing the voice of God. There must be something wrong with me. And so we give up. We stop praying. We stop pursuing God because we're not seeing those instant results or those instant changes that we want. And this is why we see in our life, many of us, you'll experience this, of these ups and downs in our relationship with God. Because sometimes it feels like he's so close, and other times it feels like we're praying and we're seeking him and we just don't hear him. And we get impatient. We decide, well, that's just easier for me to leave, to go on, to do something else, to go back to my old habits, to go back to my old friends and relationships. And we forget that pursuit of God because we're not willing to wait on him, to be patient, to stay there, to stay in that moment. We're looking for the next one. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Many of us experience this. We're hoping for something, we're believing for something, you're excited about something, and then it doesn't happen the way you expected it to. And then you get tired, you get frustrated, you start to leave. But the second part of this says, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. When you wait on something, you're longing after something, and then you finally experience it and it comes out. And you're like, man, this is amazing. This is life-giving. Am I right, Timo? Totally. Did you get shot in the nutter butters there? Right? It's hard for us to wait for something. And as we're waiting, we start to lose hope. We start to lose faith. And when we lose faith, we try to manufacture our own result, our own plan. We stop going off of God's plan because we're like, well, that's taking too long. I'll figure this out myself. That always ends well, doesn't it? This passage in the Bible in Genesis, the story of a man named Abraham. Abraham, awesome man of God, known as righteous because of his faith. He believed God and he walked in that belief. He trusted God. Right, so there's many times where God called Abraham to do something. He'd leave his entire life, everything behind, and then he'd sell it and he'd go and he'd follow after God. Because God called him to, so we trusted him. He went after God's heart. And then God had called him when he's about 75 years of age, and he made this covenant with him. Right? Covenant is a promise, but even more than just like, I promise I'll do this. It was like a written down contract, signed type of covenant that God would follow through. And so what he tells Abraham is he says, listen, I'm going to make you into a great nation. All your descendants are going to come after you. You're going to be the father of many nations. He took him outside. He said, look up at the stars. And he said, you can't even count those stars, right? That's how many descendants that you're going to have. And he told him he was going to be in the line of Jesus. Father of many nations, even the father of Jesus, right? In that line. And he believed him and he walked in that faith, believing that God was going to provide for him. And he does this for like 10 years, right? He's married at the time and they cannot have a baby. I'm sure they were trying, but they could not have a baby. His wife was barren, unable to have a kid, right? And it's been like 10 or 11 years. They're starting to feel that hope deferred. They're starting to look around being like, God, are you really here? Did you really say that to me? Did you really make this promise to me? Because it doesn't feel like you're coming through. How many of you have waited for 10 years for anything? Like, I'm barely 10 years old. Right, waiting for something for 10, 11 years, like that sounds crazy. And this wasn't something small. Like, this is his future. This is his destiny. This is the life that he's called him into. And he walks in faith in the beginning. And then he starts to lose hope. And so him and his wife devise this amazing plan. Sarah comes to him. He's like, Abraham, listen. His name was Abram at that time. Abram, listen. This isn't working out. I got a plan. It's pretty good. This is what we'll do. I have a little servant girl, little maid, servant maid. Her name is Hagar. What's going to happen is she's going to sleep with you. You're going to have her baby, and we're going to say it's our baby. And that's going to be the beginning of you being the father of many nations. Sounds like a good plan, right? Sounds like a setup from his wife saying, yeah, sleep with this girl. That's a good idea. But really, back then, it was kind of a common thing. Right? If husband and wife couldn't have a baby and they had a slave girl, she could come in, sleep with the husband, they could have that baby, and it would be the husband and wife's baby and not hers anymore. So now that sounds ridiculous, but back then it was kind of a common thing. But still a stupid plan, right? So they devise this plan up, and they're like, okay, this is what we're going to do. End up happening, and they have a baby. The baby's name is Ishmael. But see, Ishmael was not the promise. Ishmael was not what God had intended for him. See, God had promised him a son. And he knew he had a promise that he was going to have a son one day. But he was tired of waiting on the Lord that he tried to manufacture that plan on his own and devise something that would work. And so they end up coming up with Ishmael. But God still afterwards told him and said, listen, this was not my promise. It's not going to be through Ishmael. At this time, he's like 85 years old. Now, obviously, they lived older or longer back then. But he was still getting up there in age. And God told him again, and he says, I have a promise for you that you're going to be the father of many nations. He speaks the same thing to him. He says, you need to trust me in this. Just trust me. Just follow me. So this time, Abram listens, and he waits. He waits on the Lord. 15 more years goes by. He's 100 years old. Okay, at 100, you're like, there's no way we're having babies. Again, they were a little bit younger, but that'd be like 65-year-old. Grandma and grandpa having babies again. Like, really? That's weird. They were old at that time. But God made the promise fulfilled in that season, in his timing. And then out came the son named Isaac. And Isaac was the promise. Isaac was the fulfillment of the promise. See, God had always given Abraham this promise. And he says, I've got a son for you. I've got a son for you. And he waited and he trusted him for a while. But then he just couldn't take it anymore. And he tried to just devise his own plan and figure it out on his own. And all that plan did was bring temporary relief. For a moment, they were probably excited. All right, we did it. We have a boy now. But then there was all this conflict between Sarah and Hagar. And then Sarah and Abraham. And then God and Abraham. There was all this conflict and hostility between them. Because it was not the promise that God had for them. It was a plan manufactured by man trying to figure out their own plan. Which only brought that like temporary relief. See, God's given us many promises. Each one of you, God has a promise for your life. He has a plan for your life. He has a destiny. He has a dream that he's built for you specifically. He has a person lined up for you, a husband or a wife. He has friendships and relationships he has planned and set before you. He has dreams that he wants you to go after and pursue. He has gifts and abilities that he's given each one of you. He has this promise that he speaks over your life. And see, many times we start out believing that promise and we start going after that. We're like, awesome. God, you're so good. Let me give you my whole life. And then that doesn't work out. And then we start trying to figure out our own plans. Because we don't feel like the promise that God has given us is coming true. I want you to think about this in relationships. Right? God has made for you and set for you a future spouse, a husband, or a wife. Perfect one, knowing you, knowing your personality, knowing everything about you. Planned out that perfect person. But for many of us, we don't have that kind of patience to wait. So instead of waiting on the Lord, waiting for that right person, waiting for Isaac, we just go around looking for Ishmael. We go around looking for the person that's going to fill that need for us in that moment. See, there's a need and a desire in each one of our hearts. Many of us have that desire to get married. God's placed that desire on your heart. But you're manufacturing the plan by trying to date everybody around you and trying to make it work. Because it's too difficult to wait for the right person, we go after the first person. Oh, she's cute. I'll go after her. He's strong. He's ripped. Go after him. It's true. Right, it's too difficult to wait for that right one. I'm going to settle for Ishmael. I'm going to settle for the one that's closest to me. I'm going to settle for the one that I feel like I can handle and I can go after right now because I'm too impatient to wait for the right person in my life. This is why we go through so many harmful relationships. It's because we're not waiting for Isaac. You're not waiting for the right person. We're going after whatever we feel like is right in the moment. That's why it's so hard for young people to wait to have sex for marriage. Right? Because it's difficult to wait. So we manufacture our own plans and our own ideas. Because we have this need in our heart to be cared for, to be loved. Or just a physical need met. So you go after the way that you can meet those needs right away rather than taking that need to God and waiting on his plan. We settle for Ishmael. Let me tell you a little something about Ishmael. Ishmael always leads to conflict and hostility. When we settle for what's not God's promise, it always leads us to conflict and hostility. Think about the relationships after Ishmael was born. There was now hostility between Hagar and Sarah. There was hostility between Sarah and Abraham because they didn't wait on the Lord. They didn't trust in the Lord. They settled. They made it an Ishmael. And that led to hostility. Look at this in Genesis 16, verse 11. So an angel comes to Hagar and says, "You are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You're to name him Ishmael, which means God hears, for the Lord has heard your cry of distress. This son of yours will be a wild man as untamed as a wild donkey. He will raise his fist against everyone, and everyone will be against him. Yes, he will live in open hostility against all of his relatives." Listen, when we stop waiting on the Lord, and we just go after our plan, what we think is right. We jump from relationship to relationship. Or we cut people out of relationships so quickly because they wronged us. That we end up settling that perfect promise that God has for us. And we trade it in for hostility. We trade it in for conflict. Think about those relationships that you've had that you've just rushed into or the ones that you've jumped out of. Did it produce intimacy or did it produce conflict? This is what happens when we don't run to the Lord, when we don't wait on the Lord. Our plans don't work out. But God's plans always do. When we stay in relationship with him, when we wait on him, it produces life, it produces peace, it produces joy. It produces intimacy and oneness in our relationships. It drives us towards success, not away from it. God has a beautiful plan for your life. He has a promise for you. All he wants you to do is trust in him and wait on him. And he's going to show you the signs and he's going to enable you and give you the gifts and the skills and the mindset and everything that you need to be able to live this full life in him. But we got to stop. We got to be still. We got to wait. Not running away from God, but waiting for God. Waiting in relationship with him. Again, waiting isn't just sitting there doing nothing. It's walking towards a pursuing relationship with God. And it's waiting and saying, God, what do you want me to do? God, who do you have me to be with? God, is now the right time? Because again, our timing is so much different than God's. We want things done right away. We want those instant results. And sometimes God just wants to take you through a season, through a situation of just waiting in him, just trusting him, being patient, enduring the conflict, enduring the struggle that you're going through, and keeping your eyes focused on him and saying, God, I'm walking with you in this. Psalm 37:7 says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Right, God had a plan the whole time. But Abraham and Sarah, their hope was getting deferred. They were tired of waiting. But see, here's the good news. Even though Abraham made the mistake, even though Abraham ended up making an Ishmael, God still had the promise of Isaac for him. God didn't take that promise away. And that's how it is in our life. God doesn't take his promise away from us. He still has it for us. And even when you make mistakes, and even when we struggle, and even when we produce a bunch of Ishmaels in our life, God still has the promise of Isaac. He still has that end result. If we wait on him, if we trust him, if we turn to him, if we stop just doing everything in our own abilities, in our own strength. And what this looks like is us pursuing God rather than just whatever is closest to us, whatever is easiest fix. Whatever just takes our mind off of it. Whatever just numbs the pain. Whatever makes us feel good in the moment. All of those is just us trying to produce and fulfill that need and that desire in our heart. That need and that desire is only fulfilled through Christ, through relationship with him. So wait on him. Wait patiently for him, and his promises are going to come to you. I promise that. As we call on him, as we wait on him, he gives us his best. He answers those prayers, right? So if you've been praying something, you believe in God for something, and you haven't seen the result of it, or it hasn't been what you want, don't give up. Don't lose hope. Keep pressing in. Keep waiting. Keep staying in it. Keep trusting that God has more for you. He has more for you. He has more for you. Let me read this passage, and we're going to wrap up here. Psalm 40. David talking, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. And he turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and he steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in God. There is strength and there is power in waiting. Waiting might seem like weakness or laziness, but there's power in waiting because what waiting says is I'm not giving up. What waiting says is God has a promise for me and I'm not giving up on it. Even though it's been a long time, even though I haven't heard him as clearly as I have before, even though it seems like everybody else is producing something great and God is shining through them, and they're growing, and it feels like I'm not. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to stay in it. I'm not going to give up. I want you to think about this in your relationships too. God has his best for you. Are you waiting on his best or are you settling for Ishmael? Leave with that as we close. God has his best for you. Don't settle for anything else. Don't compromise his purposes and his plans. But even when we do, God doesn't leave us. He stands with open arms and says, just come back, just come back, just come back. I still have Isaac for you. I still have your best for you. Will you guys stand with me? But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, this is the life that God has for you. When you wait on him, when you trust in him, when you hope in him, when you don't allow circumstances to sway your mindset towards Jesus, that you continue to pursue after him no matter what. But you're saying, God, I'm not giving up because I know you're not giving up on me. So if you guys would close your eyes. Real quick, if there's anybody in this room and you've not given your life to Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity now. You're saying, I've never put my hope and my trust in him, but I feel this calling on my heart and I believe that God is real and that he wants me and he wants relationship with me. But if you've never experienced that and you want to for the first time, all you have to do is believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that he is real, that he came to save you, and you'll be set free. So all eyes closed in this room. If there's anyone out there that you say, I've never put my faith in Jesus, but today I want to. Would you just raise your hand for me so I can pray with you? Nobody looking around. Just you. Just you and the Lord. Anybody saying, first time, man, I'm putting my hope and my trust in God. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, God, that you love us. God, that you never lose hope in us. Father, help us to wait patiently for you. God, that we would go after your heart. Father, we wouldn't settle in our relationships. We wouldn't settle in our pursuit. We wouldn't settle in our character, our morals, our beliefs. God, we wouldn't settle. But God, we would trust you and follow after you wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Be blessed this week. Hey, if you guys want to take one of those...